Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
But now that the NFL is over, it felt like last night was almost the first big night of college basketball. Like the first, I mean, he had Kentucky too, and like it felt like last night was when attention, obviously the NBA gets a lot of attention, now people are playing attention, but it felt like last night sort of was when America stood up and paid attention to college basketball.
There's no question, because you had like one wild result after another. I mentioned at the top of the show, Kansas State winning at Texas, not a wild result, but technically an upset, and it's Kansas State taking a game on its schedule that was supposed to be a loss, turning it into a win, and now they are projected to win an outright Big 12 title and snap Kansas's string of 14 consecutive Big 12 titles. So you had that, you had Penn State beating Michigan, you had the controversial ending LSU-Kentucky, and then you had the like crazy what in the world's happening, come from behind win, Duke at Louisville. So you got all these wild things. My point being, I guess you shouldn't assume anything, but assuming that Memphis can win at East Carolina, it is an interesting little stretch they've got here this week. They play Wednesday, Saturday. So it's tonight at East Carolina and then Central Florida on the road. And I know they smashed Central Florida at FedEx Forum late last month, but obviously playing in Orlando is a bit of a different deal. But if they can somehow win both of those, then they got a three-game winning streak headed into a home game against Tulane and then a road game at Wichita State. You can start to string some wins here, but it starts with getting this one tonight.
Right. You're exactly right. There is, I mean, I don't know if they will be – I don't think it will be favored against – UCF on the road.
No, they will not be.
But they certainly are favored tonight, aren't they?
Yes.
I would imagine they're favored tonight, despite
their
road
points.
Problems. They would certainly be favored over Tulane, and you would think they would be favored against Wichita State. And so it's a yes. It is a string where they could start to stack some.
And then they after Wichita State, it's Temple at home, probably favored in that one. Cincinnati on the road, good luck. And then you close with Tulsa at home. And right now, KenPom has it projected to be 18-13 headed into the AAC tournament, 10-8 in the AAC. And that would obviously not put them in the at-large conversation. But a projection of 10-8 in the ACC in the AAC is going to put them 1, 2, 3, 4 tied for 5th. In the conference standings. And so any of these losses they can flip into wins improves on that. But right now the very basic projections have Memphis finishing, you know, top five in the AAC, which I think maybe most Memphis fans wouldn't have taken in the preseason, but that was about where they were supposed to be in the preseason. Are you going to Orlando as well this weekend?
I'm not, only because of the AAF game. I've decided I had to think about that. Because I had planned to go, but I actually, the way that people reacted, and I don't know how many people are going to be at the Liberty Bowl.
10,000.
The AAF this weekend, I mean, it got attention. It as people I think know, it drew better than the James Harden versus Russell Westbrook game, and it and now mind you, the Memphis team was hideous, and the Express was like were hideous, and so. I don't know how many people are going to go, and I've always been a little bit skeptical about this league. I sort of feel like Memphis is a little bit minor leagued out. Having said that, because they have a TV contract, because it's football, you just don't know. And it sort of felt to me like obviously Penny and the Tigers are the biggest thing in town right now, and every game they play is the biggest thing in town right now. But there is something slightly historic about, even if the league's gone next year, I don't think it will be, but even if the league's gone next year, like, I was glad I was at the NFL opener, the home opener, I remember that game, and I decided, you know what, it's sort of a civic event, I should be at the at the Alliance opener in Memphis. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Like, you know, if it's – you've been to enough Memphis games at this point, like Tiger games at this point. Like, missing one's not a big deal. It'll still get talked about on Monday morning at 9 o'clock regardless of whether –
Oh, no, it'll be talked about more than the – unless
– Of course.
Unless 25,000 show up Saturday night, it'll be talked about presumably more than the Express game. But, yeah, it just felt to me like there's something to that event, and I should be at that event.
I will tell you that CBS has, like, really invested in it, and they care deeply about it, so much so that usually, like – I don't want to say usually, but lots of times, you know, just your average CBS Sports Network college basketball game, they're not going to fly cameramen in. You know, they're going to have – they'll hire local. You know, they'll hire local, and they'll bring somebody in local, and they'll handle all that stuff. My point being, you know, some of the people we work with here in New York who do camera work in studio with us, like I was just randomly talking to them last night, and I was like, so what do you got going on this weekend? And he was like, I'm going to Memphis, shooting the Alliance of American Football game down in Memphis. So they're like sending their own people to the Liberty Bowl for this game, which shows a certain attention to detail. And it's undeniable that it is so far, at least, a success from a television perspective. But I wonder, and this is what I always thought, and I'd be happy to be proven wrong, but I think it's going to be a terrible ticket from a ticket perspective. But you just put football on television and people will watch it. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's the Pro Bowl or the Birmingham Bowl or anything. People will watch football on television. And I think that whether it's the folks who are going to tie themselves to the XFL when it launches next year or the people who have attached themselves to this football league, the thought behind it is pretty simple. If we put football on television, people will watch it. And the opening weekend, you know, ratings sort of highlighted that. And I do think that's why it's a viable league going forward. Even if the stands are going to be mostly empty, you're going to have an excess of 1 million people watching these games. And, you know, that's – you can put Duke Louisville on national television playing basketball, and it probably doesn't do what a football game is going to do, any football game. And, you know, again, the opening –
One of the things that was hilarious to me was if you went to ESPN.com – the day at Monday morning, but went to ESPN.com, and people were truly talking about the AAF Monday morning, right? It's the first time we'd seen it. They were talking about the ratings. They were talking about the quality of football. They were like, it was a topic Monday morning. There was not a headline on ESPN.com about it. Right. And it makes you realize how much of this thing is, yeah, it's a sport, whatever, but how you take it is like it's a TV event. It's programming for the for the folks who carry it, and for ESPN, which does not. It's like, this is our programming. We're not, you know. It was. I thought it was sort of startling, and then if you put it in the search, there was just a story by I forgot who it was saying, yeah, it's not going to have legs, you know, like that. And it was you realize it is a TV product.
Well, you know, like. And this is why it's such a big deal for CBS Sports Network. I don't think I'm sharing company secrets here. You know, live sporting event rights, like, you know, getting the Big Ten rights or NBA rights or Major League Baseball rights, it's incredibly expensive. But the key to any sports network is live programming, like live sports programming. It's not hiring Skip Bayless to do a show or Jim Rome to do a show. It's having compelling live sports events on your network that brings people to it that otherwise wouldn't be there. That's the trick. And so what if you don't want to spend $1 billion to buy somebody else's property? What do? You start a new property.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done here. They've created a, you know, in coordination with the people running the league, they've created, you know, a live sporting event every weekend that otherwise did not exist. And so you get what appears to be quality programming, but you didn't have to buy it from somebody else or outbid somebody else. And so it's a huge win from that perspective. But to your point about ESPN, like trying to ignore it, you know who learned this the hardest way? The NHL.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah, that was the big thing.
When the NHL can't like they did needed not them. Renew yeah. its deal with ESPN yeah. and went with maybe it's NBC.
They tried their own thing for a while too. Yeah.
The NHL became non-existent.
Yeah, I mean, it bombed. It hurt them big time. Yeah.
Well, it's not only that you're not on ESPN anymore. And as an employee of CBS Sports, I can still tell you the biggest thing you can be in sports is on ESPN. It just is.
Yeah.
And so it's not just that you're not on ESPN anymore. It's that ESPN then decides, well, if you're not with us, we're not going to cover you.
Right.
We're not going to talk about you. And the NHL just like it. I know it's still big where it's big. But when I was
that's what she said.
Button, there you go. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. When I was a teenager or whenever, I at least had a basic understanding of the NHL. If only because if you watch SportsCenter, it was in your face. You couldn't avoid it any more than you could avoid the NBA or whatever.
Barry Melrose. Yeah.
Right.
I was on SportsCenter talking about it. Right.
Exactly. Right. You just couldn't. Right now. Like, is the NHL season going on right now?
Yes.
I think it is. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let me. I can't. You could ask me right now who's got the best record, the worst record, who's leading the league in goal. I could not answer a single question about the NHL. But 15 years ago, I could have, because ESPN, it was just part of its programming. You couldn't miss it. But now they just ignore it. And it coincides with the fact that, you know, they say, hey, if you don't have a business relationship with us, we're not obligated to cover you, and we're not going to spend a second promoting something we don't have. I shouldn't say a second. They will spend a second. But we're not going to spend a lot of seconds promoting a property we don't have at the expense of properties we've spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars on. And so it's not surprising that they're also largely ignoring this new football league because they have nothing to do with the new football league.
Right. Yeah, literally the only thing I've seen, I mean, I saw Kirk Herbstreit saying he didn't think it was going to last too. Like, you know, like that. You hear that from ESPN employees. But they're covering the combine and they're covering the draft. And it is kind of weird because this is also an NFL product. And the truth of the matter is there will be players. Like the quarterback from Birmingham was a really interesting story. The kid had not even played high school football. He never played varsity football in high school. Wow. He went and played junior college football, and then he played at Texas A&M Commerce. And first week, he looked like he's the best quarterback in the league. And now, could have been the Memphis Express, you don't know, but he looked like the best quarterback. And he's going to end up, I suspect he's going to end up someday on an NFL roster. Like, it's going to be real. Like, there will be players. I don't know how long this league is going to last. I don't know anything else. But there will be players who play in this league who go on and play in the NFL.
Well, I don't know if you saw this from Bruce Feldman the other day, but he tweeted that in one of the games this weekend, it wasn't the Birmingham Memphis game, but it was another of the Alliance of American Football games. He said there were six former 5-star high school prospects playing in the game, which is the exact same number of former 5-star prospects that played in the Super Bowl.
That's incredible.
Which is just crazy. Like, one week earlier, you had, like, 5 or 6 or 7, whatever the number is, former 5-star prospects in the Super Bowl. Next weekend, you had the same number the Alliance of American Football in one of its games. And really, I don't think that says anything other than we talk about high school recruiting rankings all the time, mostly as it relates to basketball prospects, James Wiseman, DJ Jeffries, whomever. It's just so much harder to figure out who's who in football than it is in basketball. Like, if you're a 5-star prospect in basketball, like, odds are, you know, particularly if you're a top 10, the overwhelming odds are that you're going to get in you'll be in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You might be a star, you might be a role player, but you'll play in the NBA if you are a top 10 player. Top 10 high school football player? I mean, they can just disappear. It's so much more difficult to figure out what's what when you're looking at 17-year-old football players as opposed to 17-year-old basketball players.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no question that's true. So, but anyway, yeah, that's where I will be. I will not be at. This is. I'm going to watch the home win. I'm going to go the road win tonight. Whatever you said there, Brad, about the Pirates, whatever.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to.
I'm not
going to
do it again.
Okay, good. And then we did. We had Jeffrey do Heath Ledger yesterday as the Joker. So invitations are big. Whatever. But anyway, yeah. And then I'm going to sit UCF out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.